presenting Mert and Marge. Another episode in the thrilling true-to-life experiences of Mert and Marge, brought to you by the makers of concentrated super suds in the blue box, the new all-purpose soap for laundry and dishes for every household use. Mrs. Lansing and Mrs. Hoyt, mothers of two large families, are having a little chat about teenage problems.
So, nothing will do, but Lois must have the whole basketball team over for a little party after the game next week. It won't be any work, Mom. That's her war cry. But honestly, the very thought of the dishes makes me weep.
Well, Anna, I have my own pet way of handling the dishwashing problem. I never wipe them because I use this marvelous new all-purpose soap, Concentrated Super Suds, in the blue box. It cuts the grease in a jiffy. Just give the dishes a hot rinse and they'll drain dry. And they sparkle, too.
Well, Bessie, that certainly sounds good to me.
Oh, Concentrated Super Suds makes entertaining much easier. All those table linens, for instance. I just whisk up a good suds and drop them into the washer. Concentrated Super Suds have plenty of life and body, you know. They soak out the dirt without any scrubbing.
I've always noticed how snowy white your tablecloths look, Bessie.
Well, now you know why. And colors come out fresh and pretty, too. Here's another comforting thought. Concentrated Super Suds in the blue box removes most germs doctors warn are in all soil clothes. Germs which, if not removed, may spread sickness. You know, with all the company the kids have in winter, it's good to know that your clothes and dishes are really clean. Hospital clean.
And now, let's see what's happening to Mert and Marge. Today, Mert and Marge are looking forward to another year, and for the benefit of our new holiday audience, we'd like to give a brief review of the highlights in the life of Mert and Marge. The two girls, you know, are mother and daughter, although you'd never know by looking at Mert that she was old enough to have a grown-up daughter. Since the day that Mert, an experienced trooper, helped the 16-year-old Marge to land her first job in the chorus, the two have known the ups and downs of theatrical life. Today at 38, Mert is the widow of Francis Hayfield, the noted theatrical producer who died last year. Marge, at 22, is the wife of Jack Arnold, the lawyer, and the mother of 2-year-old baby Midgie. After varied experiences in Hollywood and the Midwest, our friends have returned to New York City, where Jack Arnold has accepted the post of chief assistant to District Attorney Dunham, and where Mert and Marge hope to reopen the old Hayfields Theater with a production of a new play by Henri Dufay. Jack Arnold has already started a secret investigation of a new racket and has been helped by Marge's old friend, Rex Marvin, a motion picture director who is vacationing in New York. A few days ago, Rex was seized by the racketeers and escaped only after being severely beaten. He's identified one member of the gang from a rogues gallery photograph, and today, as our episode opens, we find Jack Arnold and Rex Marvin conferring with District Attorney Dunham.
I asked you to come down here, Marvin, because Jack tells me that in spite of your injuries, you're planning to leave for the coast in a few days.
That's right, Mr. Dunham.
You can't possibly hold off your departure for a week.
Plutarch Pictures have based the whole 1938 schedule on my being there next week.
I see. The point is, if we do pick up this gangster, you're the only one who can identify him as the man who forced you into his car.
Yes, I know that, but I've got to think of my future, too. You see, Dunham, Rex is starting work under a new contract, and it means a lot to him. Since the police haven't been able to find this man Gimpy yet, I don't think we can ask Rex to hang around here indefinitely, waiting.
No, I suppose we can't, Jack.
You've had no report on Gimpy at all?
Well, we've brought in 7 or 8 of his friends. Every one of them says the same thing. He was around town until the night you were kidnapped and hasn't been seen since.
Don't you think, Dunham, that if Rex gives us an affidavit identifying the Rogues Gallery picture as being the man who kidnapped him, the grand jury would accept it? Once we get the indictment, we can set the trial affixing, well, to fit into Rex's working schedule.
Oh, an affidavit like that isn't nearly as strong as personal identification.
Yes, I know that, but I think we could make it stick.
Well, let's try it. You go on out to the coast, just as you planned, Marvin. But hold yourself ready to come back here if we need you, will you?
I'll do my best, Mr. Dunham.
How you expect to direct a picture with your arm in a sling, I don't see.
Well, as long as I've got one good arm to motion with and a voice to yell with, I'll make out all right.
Well, I wish you luck, Marvin. Jack, you'll get that affidavit from him now, will you?
Surely. I'll take Rex into the outer office and get his affidavit so we can go. Then just as soon as I telephone Mrs. Arnold to tell her I'll be late for dinner, I'll be back.
Oh, you had a dinner appointment?
Oh, not a very important one. This chap Dupay, the author of the play that Marge and Myrtle have bought, is coming up to the house. But as long as I'm there by 8, it'll be all right.
And now we turn to the Arnold apartment on the corner of 79th Street and Central Park West. In the kitchen, we find Helmy, the faithful maid who has gone through many of Mert and Marge's experiences with them, preparing dinner.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Old Saint Nick, he came down quick, but now he's gone away. Oh, jingle bells, jingle... Well, that was a close one. Yeah, I will have all the string beans on the floor in a minute if I don't be more careful. Come back up here, beans, yeah. Jingle beans, jingle beans, jingle all the way.
Well, Helmy, you sound happy.
Oh, I am, Miss Margie. I wasn't yelling too loud, was I?
No, not at all. How's the dinner coming?
Well, it's coming. It will be ready on time.
Well, can you hold it back just a little? Mr. Arnold just phoned, and he'll be a few minutes late.
Oh, sure, I can hold back on it. The beans and the potatoes, they can wait, all right, and I won't put in the steak until Mr. Arnold is here.
Good. Have you made the roquefort dressing for the salad?
Well, not yet, Miss Maudie. I was just going to do that.
Oh, heavens, that's probably Myrtle and Mr. Dufay now, and I haven't changed my dress yet.
Well, I will go let them in while you run and change now.
No, you stay right here and fix that salad dressing. I'll let them in, and I'll let them wait. Be sure not to put too much oil on the dressing, Helmy.
No, I won't, Miss Maudie.
I never knew Myrtle would be so early before. All right, I can't fly, you know.
Oh, Marge, you're here. Oh. Thank goodness.
Oh, Clarence, it's you.
Of course it's me. Marge, I've been creating clothes for you and Myrtle for the play. And wait till I tell you, I've got the most beautiful...
Clarence, yes, but right now I'm in a hurry.
But it's for your clothes, Petunia, the ones you wear in the third act. All of a sudden it came to me you shouldn't wear a dress at all in that act.
What? Not wear a dress?
No, not under any circumstances. It would be completely wrong. You'll wear a tailored street suit.
Clarence, please. I honestly haven't got time to talk about it now. Probably you're right. Probably you're very right. But it'll have to wait until tomorrow.
But it's such a nice idea.
Yes, Clarence, your ideas about clothes are always nice. But Myrtle and Mr. Dufay are coming to dinner. Now I'm going to dress. Drop by tomorrow morning and I'll listen to your ideas about the tailored suit.
Is Helmy in the kitchen?
Yes, Clarence, naturally. She's getting dinner. Go on out and say hello if you want to.
Thanks, Petunia. Thank you, Will. I wish I knew why it is. I always get my best ideas just when everybody else is too busy to listen to them.
Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is. Oh, hello, Clarence.
Happy as a little lark tonight, aren't you, Helmy? Might I ask why?
Why? Oh, I don't know, Clarence. Just because it's a happy time of year, I guess, maybe. Aren't you happy?
Me? Oh, I suppose I am. What are you doing anyway? What's that stuff?
Stuff? This isn't stuff. This is roquefort salad dressing.
Oh, yes. Nasty stuff, isn't it?
It is not. It's very good. Anyway, it will be when I get through mixing it.
Oh, I guess I'm happy at that, Helmy. I ought to be, goodness knows. Here are all my hopes coming true. Mert and Marge have found a play to do, and they've raised the capital to reopen Hayfield's Theater, and I'm designing the costumes for them. I don't know what more we could ask for, do you?
Well, if you ask for anything more, you will be a pig. Oh, that's Miss Myrtle and that playwright fellow, I bet. Clarence, give this stuff a mixing while I go to the drawer, will you?
What? Me?
Yeah, you do it the way I was doing it.
But this is such unpleasant stuff.
It won't do you any harm. Now, go ahead.
Tell me. Tell them I'll be right out. I'm almost ready.
Oh, yeah, Miss Margie, I will tell them.
Hello, Helmy.
Oh, good evening, Miss Myrtle.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Dufay. May I take your things?
Thank you.
I'll just leave my coat on the chair here, Helmy.
Miss Margie will be out in just a few minutes. She's not quite finished with her dressing.
Tell her not to hurry. We'll make ourselves right at home, won't we, Mr. DeFay?
Indeed, yes.
Well, I think I'd better get back to see how Clarence is making out.
Clarence? Is he here?
Yeah, he dropped in for a minute. I have him working in the kitchen.
You've got Clarence working in the kitchen. You're good, Helmy.
Yeah, I think so myself.
Clarence? Oh, yes, he is the one you were telling me about.
Clarence Tiffingtopper, the costume designer. He's been with us ever since the old days of Hayfield's Pleasures. He's already working on the clothes for this play of yours.
You mean of ours? I wrote it, but you are the ones who will make it live.
Hello there. I'm sorry I wasn't quite ready.
We'll forgive you this time, Mrs.
I think there is nothing to forgive. There's been such a very little wait, Mrs. Arnold.
Well, I'm afraid it's going to be a longer one before dinner. Jack phoned to say he'll be late, and I've told Helmy to wait for him. You two don't mind, do you?
But of course not. From what Mrs. Hayfield has been telling me, she's had a busy day.
You bet I have, but it's been worth it. Margie, we're all set to start casting tomorrow. I've ironed out the last few details today. We start casting the show tomorrow, and with any luck, we can begin rehearsals next week.
Next week? Oh, Myrtle, that's grand. Did you get Max Winters?
I sure did. He signed, sealed, and delivered. And from now on, all the business worries are on his shoulders.
Except the ones that you'll keep on carrying, anyhow.
No, sir. I'm going to let him do all the worrying. Oh, that reminds me. I want to see Clarence for a minute. Max wanted to talk to him about that first act Gawney sketch. I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, I'd like to see Myrtle dump her worries on anybody else's shoulders. She's never done it yet.
Yet her worries don't seem to worry her, really.
Oh, Myrtle knows how to take things in her stride. But when she's in something, she manages to know just what's going on all the time.
I have not told you how beautiful you are tonight.
What? Oh, well, thank you.
I had hoped that it would be the other way. That after all these days of not seeing you, I would find you less beautiful than I expected. But I find you more beautiful.
I thought we decided that it would be better if you and I didn't talk about ourselves.
Yes, but you knew. You must have known what was behind that decision.
I thought it was the fact that we wanted to produce your play. You wanted us to do it.
You say that so easily.
Because it's true.
True? I will tell you what is true about us. Is what I said the first time I met you, that you are made for me. Now that I see you again, I know it is so.
Please, Mr. DeFay, we agree.
Listen, I know what I feel. And I know that in spite of all you say, in spite of the way you laugh at me and fend me off, you too must know the truth. Deep down in your heart, there is a stirring which you are fighting. It must be so.
Mr. DeFay, I've told you, I happen to be very much in love with my husband. It also happens that every penny that Myrtle and I have, as well as some other people's capital, is invested in this play. Can you... Won't you be enough of a man to forget this foolishness?
And so, for the second time, Henri Dufay has been unable to restrain his ardor. Will he listen to Marge's plea, or will he continue his unwelcome attentions? What would Jack say if he knew about it? And with the gangster Gimpy apparently hiding out, what will be Jack's next move in his search for Rex's assailants? Maybe we'll find out tomorrow. As you watch your small son trudge off to school, do you sometimes ask yourself, am I doing everything in my power to keep him well and happy? I wonder, with all the other things you do for him, if you guard him against the dangerous germs doctors warn are in all soiled clothes. Germs which, unless removed, may spread sickness. Protect your family. Remove most germs as well as the dirt. Use the new soap, Concentrated Super Suds, in the blue box. This remarkable new household soap will make wash days much easier for you, too. It contains a special water softener so that even in hard water, masses of foamy suds pile up. Quick-action suds that soak out the dirt without a bit of tiring scrubbing. Women everywhere are enthusiastic about Concentrated Super Suds. They say their wash is sweeter smelling, immaculate, and goes on the line much sooner. They say white things are really snowy, and colors have a new freshness. Concentrated Super Suds has won the approval of Good Housekeeping Institute. You can trust it to be absolutely safe for fabrics and gentle to your hands. Make your wash days easy with this new all-purpose soap. and protect your children by removing germs as well as dirt. Get clothes and dishes really clean, hospital clean. Use concentrated super suds in the blue box. Won't you join Merton Marge at this same time tomorrow? Your announcer, Gene Paul King.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.